His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried, bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save. He gave his life for mine. His wounds of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine. He gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness.
The God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine. Why would the great I am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me, now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Why Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answers, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me.
Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see,
he came to me.
He came to me. Changed my everything.
What a joy I've been given. It's a new life I'm living.
As a child of the King, he came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free. Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Much turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and I'm going to share with you what God's laid upon my heart. I like the fact that this is a missions revival. I make no bones about it. Missions is spiritual business. God is not looking for some people with some to make some emotional decisions. He's looking for people to give their life for that which Jesus died for, and that's the world. And the missionaries, all the slide presentations are important. The testimonies, talking with the missionaries, all of those things go together to make whatever decision you make personally a spiritual decision this week for the cause of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Psalm 116, let's stand if you're physically able to stand with me. And I'm going to share a few thoughts here from this great psalm, and then trust God to be able to bless in a very special way. Psalm 116, beginning in verse number 1. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, and now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Our Father, we thank you so much for the Fellowship Baptist Church and Pastor Dale and the wonderful, wonderful people here that are involved in the ministry here. Thank you for their heart for missions. Thank you for their desire to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know they have worked, they have prayed and prepared for this missions revival. And I pray, dear God, that though all of us are here, the most important person to be here this week is the Lord himself. And I pray that you'd meet him in a very special way. And I pray that you would take me as your servant. I pray, first of all, you'll cleanse me of any sin. I pray that you would empty me of self, and then, Father, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. I pray that you will bless this meeting, the preaching, all that will take place here today and throughout this week. And we'll be careful to thank you for it and praise your holy name for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The 116th Psalm, without a doubt, is a very, very special psalm. As a matter of fact, I have used it, and many preachers have used it many, many times over the years to be able to preach homegoing services. I've taken the verse number 15, many of these times and developed homegoing messages where the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But when you really read this entire psalm, it's a great psalm some great principles to be able to lay out from this psalm when it comes to missions. And I think about your theme, arise and go. And you think about where that came from in Jonah and where those people were going and people that were hated and despised. But there was a God in heaven that loved people. And God wants to reach an entire world. But God has chosen, as we know, because you're a good mission-hearted church, God has chosen people to express to a world his love for them by arising and going from the call of Almighty God. But I believe without a doubt it takes special kind of people. And this passage, I believe, lays out for us something that is needed in our lives if we're going to arise and go to China or Argentina or Africa or someplace in the world. God's still looking and longing for people. Now, I don't know why God chose people, but he did. He wants people that he saved by the grace of God to have something in them that will move them, motivate them, stir them to rise and go, even leaving their jobs and leaving their homeland and even leaving families oftentimes because there's a God who cares about people. And I believe if you'll listen for a few moments, this psalm will give us some things that we ought to long for and look for during this missions conference. I believe this is your 9th or 10th one. My church just had its 30th. I preached a few weeks ago to one that had its 54th and 35th. And I mean, people come all the time. It's become routine. But ought to walk into a local New Testament church that God's commanded to reach the world and ought to walk in and sit in the seat and say, God, somewhere from the teaching and preaching or a song or something, motivate me that I will arise and go help you get the job done for Almighty God. This psalm really talks about a man who believed something that I believe that we ought to believe today. He believed that the Lord was his master. He believed because the Lord was his master, he was a servant. Oh, if we could get people to understand, there's a master in heaven who purchased me from the slave market of sin. I was headed to a place called hell. We heard people singing about it, and the Lord Jesus Christ came down and paid the price and suffered and gave himself for me, purchased me. I don't belong to myself any longer. I'm a servant. I have a master. I belong to him. And the psalmist lays this out very clearly in this passage. He said, I'm a servant. He said, I love my master. He says, I look to my master. He said, I lean upon my master. I live for my master. I won't lie to my master. I'll lift up my master. And all of my life, I'll be loyal to my master. And he pens this wonderful psalm. He begins this psalm with some words that every time I read them, I kind of tremble. They're beautiful words, but in my heart, I long every day that I'll get this. He says the first four words, I want you to look in this psalm, in verse number one, he said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Now, I've never been able to pray in 40 plus years of my Christian life, I've never been able to pray and say to a God who's omniscient, a God who's all powerful, a God who's ever present, a God who knows what I think before I say it, I've never been able to say this to him, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. I can't say that because I've never gotten there. But I do pray this every day of my life. Lord, help me to love you with all of my heart, with all of my might, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my spirit, with all of my strength, because that's my desire. Because I believe that God has demonstrated how much he loves me. But I need to love him. I don't know, and I've said this many times all over the world, I know of no human being that I believe that loves God any more than my wife. Thank you for saying that's the best thing that ever happened to me. And that's, I saw that long, over 50 some years ago. She can say, and our whole church believes it, Lord, I love you. There are kids in our church that even would imitate her saying, Lord, I love you. She has as much love for the Lord. So I've started praying, Lord, if I never get to what I'm asking for, let me love you as much as Jeanette loves you. That'll help me get a long way. But the psalmist said, I love the Lord. And then he said, because. In the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, he outlines for us why he could say, I love the Lord. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He said, I love the Lord because, listen to me, he, talking about this master, talking about his Lord. I love him because he listens to me when I pray. Do you realize tonight that there's a God in heaven that has time when you fall on your face, whatever is troubling your heart, he always has time to listen to his child. I love the Lord, he says. There's never been a night or morning, or day, or time that I haven't fallen on my face and prayed that he didn't listen to me. He says, for that reason, I love the Lord. Verse 5, he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, for God is merciful. I love the Lord because he listens to my prayer. But I'll tell you a second reason the psalmist says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he is gracious and merciful toward me. Wow. His grace is always there. Whatever I'm going through in life, He gives me the grace to not only save me, He gives me grace to sing, grace to serve, grace for strength. Wherever I need it, He is gracious. And He's merciful. I mean, when I mess up, He still cares about me. And the psalmist said, I love the Lord because He listens to my prayer. He's gracious and merciful. Verse number 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. I love the Lord because He listens to my prayer. We can say amen to that. I love the Lord because He is gracious and merciful. But the psalmist says, I love the Lord because He cares for me when I'm simple. That'll clear everybody. Everybody in here is simple at some point in time. He didn't say, but the Lord cares for me even when I am simple. Verse number 7, he goes on and says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I love the Lord because He listens to my prayer. He's gracious and merciful. He takes care of the simple. But I love the Lord because He blesses me bountifully even when I go astray. What a God, he says. Listen to me when I pray. Pours out His grace and mercy. When I'm simple, He cares for me. But when I mess up, He still blesses me bountifully. No wonder the psalmist said, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm a servant. He's a master. I look to Him. I long for Him. I lift Him up. I won't lie to Him. He's master. He's Lord. I'm servant. And I love Him. And then he goes on in verse number 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I love the Lord because He listens to me when I pray. He's gracious and merciful. He takes care of the simple. He has blessed me bountifully, even though I've gone astray. He said, but I love the Lord because He relieves my burdens, my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. What a God. What a master. I'm talking about the one who saved me, the one that I'm a servant, the one who sends me, one who calls me. I ought to love Him. I ought to love Him enough. Whatever He wants me to do, I ought to do it because I love Him. So after he lays out the reasons he loved the Lord, then he turns to himself. And I want you to notice what he asked himself in verse number 12. And we're going to talk about that for a few moments. I love the Lord. He's demonstrated how much he loves me. He listens to me when I pray. He's gracious and merciful. He takes care of the simple. He blesses me. I mean, he relieves my burdens. So I've got plenty proof that he loves me. Now I say that I love Him. Then he asked himself the question that I want you to ask yourself during this missions conference and see what answer you find out by Thursday night of this meeting. He says in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? What is it that I have? I can never totally repay Him, but I'm going to take a good look at myself. If there's a God who listens to me when I pray, who's gracious and merciful, takes care of me when I'm simple, blesses me bountifully when I go astray, keeps my feet from stumbling, wipes away my tears, what do I have? What's in me? What do I own? After all, I'm a servant. He's master. What can I render back to Him for all the benefits He's given me? Last time I read my Bible, he showers us with benefits daily. There's not a man, woman, boy, and girl sitting in here this morning cannot say that God's a good God. God's a gracious God. God's a merciful God. He's given health. He's given strength. He's given my salvation. He's given me a home in heaven. God's my Father. Jesus my Savior. The Holy Spirit's my comforter. The Bible's my guide. I've got a good preacher. I've got a good church. I've got time. I've got talent. I've got treasure. I've got children. I've got a husband. I've got a wife. I've got a lot of benefits. But which one of them am I willing to render back to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The psalmist asked himself that question. I'm asking you that question. And I want you to ask yourself that question. And I'm going to share with you in a few moments what he rendered back to the Lord from the rest of this psalm. And ask you this morning, what are you willing to render back to this God for all of his benefits toward you? Forget about anybody else. I want you to focus upon you and say, what is it that I have that because I love him, who's proven he loves me, that I'm willing to render back that may even cause me to arise and go someplace in this world, to rise and give that others may go, to arise and fall on my knees and pray, to arise and give out a tract, a witness, a do something for that which he proved his love for when he died on an old rugged cross. Four quick things the psalmist said he's going to render back to the Lord, and I believe we need to render these things as well. He said in verse number 13, right after they asked the question, he started saying, I will, about something. He said, first of all, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The first thing the psalmist rendered back to the Lord was the salvation of his soul. Now let me explain to you. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you don't understand what we're singing about, what we're preaching about, what we're talking about. You came in this world lost on your way to hell as a child of Adam, and you can't render anything back to God until you first take the cup of salvation. You got to believe by faith that he died, was buried, was raised from the dead. Repent of your sins. Take that cup of salvation that will take you out of the family of Adam, put you in the family of God forever. That's where it starts. So if you're not saved, don't try to give him your time. Don't try to give him your treasure. Don't try to give him your talent. You need to give him a little bit of trust in what he's already done that you can get into the family of God. So if you're not saved, you need to take the cup of salvation that guarantees you eternal life. But for those of us who are saved, and we took that one day, we are servants. He's our master. We're going to a troubled world. There are people that will hate us. There are people that will say no to us. The self want to take over. What can I render back to the Lord if I'm saved? Keep in mind, the salvation was a cup full. So when I'm in the work of God, what can I render back? When I have no good health, when I have no money, when I don't have a whole lot of time, I've got a cup of salvation I can drink from every day. It's got grace in it. It's got mercy in it. It's got joy in it. It's got peace in it. It's got power in it. I take a sip every day and keep on going for God. I'm amazed today at the number of fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist Christians in local churches where the King James Bible is preached, and they have nothing to be excited about. You're drinking from everything except the cup of salvation. If you get up every morning with no money, no job, no house, no car, but you've got Jesus, you've got something to sip from.
That ought to be enough to get a drink from the cup of salvation and to keep on preaching, keep on praying, keep on singing, keep on going, keep on giving, keep on praising. Take the cup of salvation and drink from it every day of your life. Be more concerned that one day you're going to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," if you never got a pat on the back while you're in this world. Some said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to render back to him. I'm going to render the cup of salvation. When he gave me that, he gave me something that will last for eternity." Number two, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? I'll give him back the salvation of my soul. But secondly, he's saying, I'm going to give him a submissive spirit. Notice what he says twice in this passage. Verse number 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Down to verse number 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. What shall I render back to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? If he's Lord, he's master, and I'm a servant, and I love him, ought to render back to him a submissive spirit. If there's anybody that ought to be submissive to God, it ought to be those that say they love him for all the benefits he's given to us. The cup of salvation is enough. If he never gave me some of the other benefits I have in life, just to know that God's my Father and Jesus my Savior, heaven's my home, is enough for me to give him a submissive spirit. Maybe in this conference, what you need to render back to him is a submissive spirit. How do I do it? Maybe I need to renew my commitment I made to him at some point in time. When you got saved, you made a commitment to Christ that he'd be number one in your life. He's to be Lord, master of my life. I'm not on the throne, he's on the throne. Maybe I need to start by saying, I need to renew that commitment. 41 plus years ago, I got saved. At that point in time, I was saying, Lord, you're the most important person in my life. You're number one in my life. Maybe he slipped a little bit. And maybe you need to render your commitment, renew your commitment back to the Lord. Maybe you made a commitment to the church. I think people take the church for granted these days. Oh, let me tell you something, to be a part of a good local Bible-believing church ought to be something you can't get up one day without thanking God for. Maybe you need to renew that in this conference. Maybe you made a commitment, as many of you did last year, to the cause of getting the gospel around the world. Maybe you said, Lord, I'll give. Lord, I'll go. I'll pray. Maybe you slipped just a little bit. And you've been reminded of all the benefits. He didn't slip at all this past year. He did everything he promised you. He still loved you when you slipped. He still loved you when you failed. And maybe you need to just renew that commitment back to him. And by the way, whatever commitment you made to Christ and the church and the cause of world evangelization, you ought to keep that commitment regardless of circumstances, regardless of consequences, because he's Lord, he's master, I'm servant, and I love him. I love him. I love him. Therefore, I'm going to look to him. I'm going to lean upon him. I'm going to lift him up. I'm not going to lie to him. He's master, I'm servant. And the psalmist said, I will renew. He said, I will keep my vow now. That's privately what I promised to him and in the presence of all his people. Privately, publicly, what I committed to my master, and because I love him, I'm going to keep it. Maybe this conference you may need to do some renewing of that commitment. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I'll take the salvation of my soul. I got a cup full. I'm going to drink from it every day. I'm going to give him a submissive spirit. I want him to know he is Lord. And I made a commitment to Christ and a commitment to the church and a commitment to the cause. And I'm going to keep that. I'm going to pay that now. Privately and publicly, I'm going to do what I promise. Thirdly, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? I'm going to give him the salvation of my soul. I'm going to give him a submissive spirit. And thirdly, I'm going to give him service of self, which belongs to him anyway. Look what he said in verse 16. And by the way, this is touching. He said, O Lord, now keep it the Lord he's talking about. He's talking about the Lord who listened to his prayers, gave him mercy and grace, dealt with him when he was simple, kept him from stumbling, blessed him when he failed. He's talking to the Lord that he said, I love you. Verse 16, he said, O Lord, truly. This is amazing to me. He says this twice. I am thy servant. Pause. I am thy servant. Maybe I need to rededicate me to him. I realize something when he says here in verse 16. I realize my position. He said, I am thy servant. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. You know what he's saying? I just remembered who I belong to. I am thy servant. I'm not the servant of self. I'm not the servant of my job. I'm not the servant of people. I am thy servant. Oh God, I've forgotten who I belong to. Lord, my time doesn't belong to my job. My time doesn't belong to an individual. My time, my talent, my treasure belongs to you. I've forgotten I am thy servant. Truly, Lord, I love you. And when I got that cup of salvation, I became your servant, your master. My time is yours. My talent is yours. My treasure is yours. My children are yours. Truly, I am thy servant. I have no right to say, I won't go, I won't give, I won't pray, I won't do what you told me to do, because truly, I am thy servant. If I really love you, if I really love you, to see the psalmist could say that in the first four words, he learned to love the Lord. You can't go, you can't give, you can't, your time, your talent, your treasure will never be used for the Lord unless you learn to love him. Love him. And he said, truly, I am thy servant. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to realize your position. And then he said, in the latter part of that, he said, the reason that I know I'm thy servant, the latter part of that, he says, thou hast loosed my bonds. I just remembered who purchased me. Hell was my home until I met Jesus. Destined there. I couldn't buy my way out of it. I couldn't give my way out of it. I couldn't turn over a new leaf. I joined a church. I started doing right. Couldn't have enough money. Thou hast purchased me, set me free. It wasn't paid with gold and silver, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And who am I to say, I can't go, I can't give, I can do what I want to with my time. I can let my job control me. I have no right to do that because my job didn't purchase me. I didn't purchase me. The blood of Jesus Christ purchased me. And what can I render back? Maybe you just need to go back and give him the service of self that belongs to him. I love the Lord, he said. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? I'm going to make it by drinking from the cup of salvation. There's something in there every day if I take a sip will keep me going, keep me preaching. Just remember, I heard brother, well, the missionary talked about the love of Christ. It's in that cup of salvation. Everything I need to function till Jesus comes back, he gave me in that cup of salvation. I need to sip from it every day. It'll help me have a submissive spirit. I will pay my vows to Christ and the church and the cause. I'm going to give him self because I realize he purchased me and I am thy servant. And then lastly, he said in verse number 19, he said, in the courts of the Lord house, in the presence of thee, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to speak every day of my Savior. May God help us to understand our mouths are given to us to witness to people about Jesus Christ. The psalmist's mouth was full of praise. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. And then he said, he's going to do it in the house of God. Oh, thank God for the local New Testament church that I have an opportunity. You all have testimonies around here, as I heard the pastor start at the beginning. You ought to take the time always to praise God. Thank God on your job, in your community. It's an opportunity to be a part of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse number nine, he also mentioned, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I got to maintain my testimony. After all, he's master. He's Lord. All I am is a servant. It doesn't take very much for any born-again child of God to take a moment and say, God has blessed me with benefits I don't deserve. It would take me a whole nother sermon longer than I have time to preach to tell you what God has blessed me for these 41 years of being a child of God. The family, I mean, two preachers, a daughter, a wonderful grandchildren, all serving the Lord. A wife who travels all over the world, regardless of how she feels, to encourage her husband to do what God has called him to do. All the wonderful blessings, not to mention the monetary things, a house to live in and a car to drive, health and strength, so many things. And the least I can do is what the psalmist did. If I'm going to say, I love the Lord, let me back it up with a life. He doesn't have to back up. The psalmist laid it out very clearly in his own life, and he didn't give the whole list of things that he was thankful that God has done in his life. The answered prayer, grace and mercy, blessings, having somebody to walk with you in every situation. He said, the problem isn't me. The problem is me. What am I doing in return for all the benefits he's bestowed upon me after I say privately and publicly, I love the Lord? If you truly love him, then you can make it when all the monetary things are not available. You still have a cup of salvation. If he chooses to have you arise and go. You can do that because you have a submissive spirit. And every day of your life, you're not serving self. You're not serving sin. You're not serving Satan. You've learned to serve him. Why? I am thy servant who loosed my bonds. And yes, every day of my life, I'm going to speak of my Savior because I love the Lord. And he's given me enough benefits to render back to him my time, my talent, my treasure. And maybe this week, God will lead you to give back to him that which you promised him when he gave you eternal life in exchange in going to a place called hell. I love the Lord. Then if you love him, drink from the cup of salvation. Give him a submissive spirit. Serve him with self. And speak of your Savior every opportunity you have. After all, he's Lord, he's Master, and we're but a servant. And may God help us to say, I love him enough to render back anything that I have for that which he rendered when he left the portals of glory and came out and died for the sins of mankind. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I want you to think about that for these few moments.